This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Hunter Biden plea deal, they think it's justice, but conservatives say the opposite, including Donald Trump, who's running for president again. So what does it all mean? That's where we're starting, everybody. Hey, Kate Delaney, hope that your week is going well. If not, you know what? We're on that slide. Getting into hump day, and then before you know it, you're on the other side of the hill, as I like to call it. So here's what the scoop is on Hunter Biden. He reached a tentative agreement with federal prosecutors to plead guilty to two minor tax crimes and admit to the facts of a gun charge under terms that would probably keep him out of jail, most likely. Any proposed plea deal, of course, has to be approved by a judge. But the prosecutors and the defense counsel requested a court hearing where he could enter his plea and resolve all of it. What does it mean for taxes, a misdemeanor tax charge of failure to pay in 2017 and 2018? He was a resident of Washington. He received taxable income of more than $1.5 million, for which he owed more than $100,000 in income tax that he didn't pay on time. And then the next year, he had 2 years where it was $100,000. So they're recommending a sentence of probation for that. And the second court filing is about a gun charge. In that case, the letter says the defendant agreed to enter a pretrial diversion agreement with respect to the firearm information, which gobbledygook means handling the gun charge as a diversion case means he wouldn't technically be pleading guilty to that crime. It's typically applied to a nonviolent offender with substance abuse problems. And since he was hooked on crack cocaine, that is what they were saying. That's what they were heaping onto that. And, boy, there was a lot of reaction to it. The White House didn't really comment. The only thing they said was they love their son and they support him as he continues to rebuild his life. He's a recovering addict, and that's the case, right? They suggest that the investigation would have been dropped long ago if he wasn't the president's son. Republicans trying to win back the White House are talking a lot about Hunter Biden and this deal and saying it's a sweetheart deal and it's ridiculous. And Trump went on social media to criticize it, saying the Justice Department had cleared up hundreds of years of criminal liability by giving Hunter Biden a mere traffic ticket. Our system is broken. And then you had the House Oversight Accountability Committee chair from Kentucky, Comer, who called the deal a slap on the wrist and a sweetheart plea deal will not rest until the full extent of President Biden's involvement in the family schemes, as he called it, are revealed. So at this point, it's now what the judge does, because the judge has to sign off on it, as I said at the top. And there's going to be lots and lots and lots of opinions that are being volleyed around until that happens. And even after that happens, there will be too, because the investigation is still, there's still the push to continue the investigation on the Hill. So it doesn't look like that will end. And if that's the case, then it's not going away. The name Hunter Biden is going to roll off the tongues of a lot of Republicans who are running for president when they're asked about certain things that have happened, the differences between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, I'm sure, because it's going to be about the Department of Justice. Nothing yet on the missing submersible near the Titanic wreck. Although the oxygen is dwindling, less than 30 hours of oxygen. You had a 5-person expedition to see the remains of the Titanic. The 4 passengers and the pilot operating the 22-foot vessel that Coast Guard and others are searching for. They're hearing a pinging. We've heard that report, but don't know how much of the pinging they've heard, what expectations they have for that. You got choppy seas still, got a lot of rolling fog that makes it extra tough to deal with that. And, you know, are they going to transition to, nobody wants to talk about this, but will they transition to a recovery operation? I'm sure not until officially the oxygen, when they determine that's run out. Once the sub is located, hopefully it is, then if they believe they're still alive, it's going to be about how do you get to them, how quickly can you get to them and get them up. I mean, that's what it is. So you got all kinds of different boats and aerial searches that are out looking. But the Titan lost contact with the mothership, the Canadian research vessel Polar Prince, during a dive on Sunday morning. And then the panic set in, I think, for some, realizing, wow, we're working around the clock. We're trying to figure out what can we do to get the people on board. How can we find them? And you hear and see all kinds of people reacting to it, and you realize this is so unlikely. And I'm not hoping for that, of course. I'm hoping they get to them, but you just start to add up, you know, the hours, you add up where they've gone, how deep they are, you add up the conditions at sea, and it's pretty, boy, it's pretty bleak. You know, these people paid $250,000 to see the wreckage. And you think about the Titanic, 111 years ago, it goes down, it smashes an iceberg, it sinks. 1,500 people are killed because of that. And now you have the fascination that we all have with the story, with the boat being there, with the wreckage. And, you know, this was a boat that was touted as unsinkable before it hit that iceberg and sank in 1912. And it's 12,500 feet. That's how far down the ocean floor is where it is. 370 miles off the coast of Newfoundland. So, again, the chances of finding them, hearing the sound is good, because if they're making a sound, it's one of the ways they could locate them. So if they're banging, whatever, to make that pinging, because you've got the sonar, maybe there is a chance they can get to them. And you're talking about deep water, high pressure, what it would be like inside a submersible. As somebody described it to me, think of a minivan underwater. You know, not a lot of room in this thing. And then the oxygen is the other part of it, is how much oxygen. And I mentioned that at the top, it's less than 30 hours of oxygen left. So that if they're going to get there, they got to get there as fast as they can, follow the sonar, the pinging, figure out how to be able to get to the submersible. Is there something weird happening? Are they caught? You know, what is it that's made this submersible stuck, or, you know, suddenly losing contact? Is there something that can be turned around, I guess, is the best way to say that. Coming up next, a conversation with Harvey Brooks. Boy, does he have a story to tell, and you're going to hear it next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Harvey Brooks joins us. His book is Love Has No Feeling. Hey, Harvey, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent. Let's talk about love. I mean, you say it right in your book. What is love? What is love, Harvey?
Love is it's an action word. When you're speaking of love, the word love, its action comes behind that word, just like every word basically have a meaning to it. So if you're speaking of that word love, you're going to have to put some action behind it. And it's just like, it's not just a word that you just throw out there. And people base love on feelings. Our feelings comes and goes. And that's what my book talk about, the different and feelings and non-feelings. And use the word love, you got to put the action behind it, and you got to not just say it. You got to mean what you say and be a servant of that word. That word is like being a servant. Just like if I tell my wife that I love her, she's looking for something for me to do for her. I just can't constantly just use the word love. It's action got to come behind that word love. And most people just use it just to get over on people. You know, it's just like you find a person saying, I love you. You hear men saying that all the time, women saying that all the time. But yet still, they'll kill their family, kill the wife, kill the children.
Mm.
But said, I love them with all my heart. But why is they dead? It's because you're going on what you feel. At that time, your feelings was, I would say, at that time, your feelings made you feel like you wanted to kill them, destroy them. And we got evil spirits out there that we deal with. It's not so much a lot of people use this word with the mind thing, where people use... what they're using now with the mind, they're saying, you know, this person is disturbed and blah, blah, blah. No, we deal with spirit.
Right.
And because we are spirit being creatures, and we deal with spirit, good spirits and evil spirits. So we have to learn how to make the choice. And love is making a choice to serve your family, serve your wife, you know, and it's not based on what you're feeling, because our feelings can make us do things that that we shouldn't be doing. And so we have to make a choice.
In your book, you talk about the light side of love is what you're talking about, is joy, peace, happiness. But there's the dark side of love, and that's what you're also talking about. How do you use the word love, throw it around, and then you kill your partner, you kill the people that you're with. So you talk about that in your book. What do you want people to take away from reading the book? What do you hope they absorb?
I want them to know how to rightly divide. And rightly divide. In this world, we're always learning. And we got to learn what is right and what is wrong. We can't just go about what we feel. I want people to get out of this thing of feeling. It's just like the Word of God. It don't talk about feelings. It don't talk about feelings. God operates off His principles of His Word. And so that's what we have to operate off the words that we know is truth. We got to learn to operate off of truth, not our feelings. It's just like you find people, let's speak of marriage. People get married for different reasons, for what they can. This person look good. I'm gonna marry this person because this person look good. I'm gonna marry this person because this person got this, can give me this, can give me that. Different reason why people get married. And so when those things are gone, the good looks is gone, the things are gone, that's one of the dark side. I mean, we can constantly go on, but that's one of the dark side. You're not marrying that person for the real reason for who that person really is. You marrying that person because of what you can get out of that person. And if that person loses everything, you gone. If that person loses the look, they gone because they got married for the wrong reason. They got married for the wrong reason. And so we're living in a world today where there's darkness and light, and all of us got a dark side on the inside of us, whether we want to commit it or not, you know, say it, but we all got a dark side on the inside of us. We got a light side on inside of us. It's all depending what we tap into, and that what we allow to rule us. And so a lot of people just allow the darkness to rule them. And so in relationship, life itself is based on relationship. Was it good? Was it bad? Life itself is just based on relationship. And so we deal with darkness and lightness in this world. And we're living in a world now where a lot of people is tapping in on the darkness because it's in us. It's in us. And so we have to make a choice which one we're going to let rule us. In my book, I got eight different novels in that book, short stories, novels, talking about marriage, divorce, parents, the children, relatives, friends, and enemies. And so it's telling in all those different topics, people having problems. They having problems. So there's a way out of it. And when you read this book, it's going to show you how these people got out of these problems. And if we tap into the Creator, because my book is an inspirational spiritual book, if we tap into the Creator and hold faith and keep this faith that we got, because all of us got faith. Every man walk on this earth has faith. It's all depending on who you give that faith to. And so it's just like we have problems and we wonder, well, how can we get out of this problem? There's only one real reason how we can get out of it, and that is the Creator, God Himself, can bring us through anything if we hold on to the faith and exercise the faith that we got on the inside of. We're going to always have problems in this world, always. And so you got darkness versus light. And so you got the choice which one you want to use. We all have a choice. God's not going to make us do anything. He's not going to make us do anything, but he do give us that choice to walk in the light or walk in darkness.
I like that. It's very clear in the book about following the light or the dark. And you said it, everybody has a dark side, whether they want to admit it or not. And you really explore that as you talk about in those 8 novels. The name of the book is Love Has No Feelings. Harvey Brooks, you can get his book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever good books are sold. Harvey, thanks so much. Keep spreading the light.
Okay, then. I appreciate this call, and I appreciate the interview.
All right, how about that? I love that. Love. And the fact of what he's talking about, the matter-of-fact storytelling style that Harvey has. All right, this isn't storytelling. This is just the truth. It is hot in a lot of places in the South, and especially in Texas and Oklahoma, parts of Oklahoma, parts of Louisiana. But the sweltering heat is testing that Texas power grid. And there are people that are still without electricity. They're asking people to voluntarily cut back on electricity because of the record demand on the system, because the heat waves or the triple digit temperatures are continuing. So with no end in sight there, it is about, I call it the honor system. It's like the honor system, because just because you tell me I have to do that, does it mean that I'm going to do that? And, of course, when I was there, we would do it. We would do our part. And luckily, in my neighborhood, we didn't lose power. But neighborhoods very close to me did. And it's no fun when you don't have anything to cool you off with. Fans just don't cut it when it's 117 degrees. You know, in the oil patches of West Texas, I spent some time down there. I was always fascinated by it. They were 114 degrees on Tuesday. Yeah, 114 degrees. And so there are places that they're dealing with electricity out in Louisiana. You all know this, 51,000 electricity customers still without power on Tuesday because of the storms that damaged about 800 structures around Shreveport. Really, really bad in Shreveport because it knocked off transmission lines. So they had that to also contend with. The timing just was not kind to them, let's put it that way. All right, coming up next, Leonardo Freitas, a conversation, and then also Dr. Rao. Wait till you hear that.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Hunter Biden will plead guilty to tax charges and a gun charge as part of a plea deal with federal authorities. The agreement entails pleading guilty to 2 misdemeanor tax charges related to unpaid taxes amounting to about $1 million from several years ago. The search for a missing sub used in Titanic exploration continues with no breakthroughs reported by the U.S. Coast Guard. Here's Captain Jamie Frederick.
Our crews are working around the clock to ensure that we are doing everything possible to locate the Titan and the 5 crew members.
The sub is believed to have less than 36 hours of oxygen left. A recent poll by Monmouth University reveals that a majority of respondents, regardless of party affiliation, believe their fundamental rights and freedoms are at risk. The survey shows that 55% of participants express significant concern about their rights being threatened, including over half of Democrats, half of independents, and nearly two-thirds of Republicans. John Schaefer, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And there was so much I didn't know about the Alamo, and I wish at the time that I had this book. Lewis Cook is with us, and his book is Joe's Alamo Unsung. So you think about, like I said, what didn't we know and what don't we know about the Alamo, and he has put it together in this brilliant book. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to learn that you got married at the Alamo. That's amazing as well.
I like the history. You know, there was something about the history of it. There was something about what I felt when I was there. And there's so many things, like I said, that we don't know that you researched and you put into this book. So let's talk about that. You know, the one thing that everybody listening to us, I bet, has heard, remember the Alamo. And that slogan is such an important slogan. But the problem is there's people, because that's about courage, there's people that weren't recognized at the Alamo, right?
Oh, and that's the part that blows me over. For example, that statement, remember the Alamo, was probably first said by a woman, Susan Dickinson. And she was saying it and said it first because she wanted everybody to remember that her husband, a very devoted guy named Captain Almorn Dickinson, who was in charge of the artillery, had got killed at the Alamo. And her only daughter, their only daughter, Angela, was also a cobbler. And she was fit to be tied to have them remember her husband and their sacrifice. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out for me at the Alamo. But another one that comes to mind is a statement that is written in a history book. It says, it is sometimes said that life at the early days of Texas was an adventure for men and dogs, but hell on women and horses. Nowhere mentioned there are blacks or minorities.
And therefore, that says we're probably a step or so below horses and dogs. And I'm saying it facetiously, of course.
Right.
But historically, it has too much truth to it. So that's how this story, that's how this book got written. It actually started with me having to teach Texas history to 8th graders or 7th graders, I forgot the year, and I had no Texas history. That's not a way to start off in Texas. The kids knew more than I did, and I was incensed that I would not let them continue to embarrass me in front of the classroom, so I had to go and learn some Texas history while I was teaching it to them. And, of course, that was quite a challenge, but that's how this thing got started.
Yeah, and you learned that there was, you know, first of all, there's overwhelming odds, we know that, but you learned that there were volunteers that fought. You learned that there were all races and religions that got together and fought, and that's not really talked about.
And it's amazing, because the only survivors, the only English survivors of the Alamo are Susan Dickinson, we just mentioned her, her daughter Angelina, and Joe. Joe was William Travis's slave. And he said, the only male survivor said that every race and every religion was there. Every race. Every religion. So how and why would we ignore so many other persons who contributed to such a vital thing in our nation's history and, of course, Texas history? There was an oversight that when I learned about it, it was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We got to do something about that. But the challenge came from one of my students who actually asked me. His father, I learned later, was a history professor at the University of Houston. And he was sending these kind of questions to his son, and they were keeping me up at night. But that was the kind of thing. Joe and John. Joe is a survivor. John is listed among the dead at the Alamo. So we know minorities were there. But regrettably, John was listed as a black boy. And, of course, that's kind of insulting. But it, again, shows the level of respect that we as women, as minorities, had at the time. For me, the thing I like about it, the book, Joe's Alamo, is not only to remind you of the original line in the sand, but it recalls how women, blacks, whites, yes, I said whites, Chinese Americans, Native Americans, Muslim Americans, Buddhist Americans, all defended the Alamo, all gave their lives. And that's a story I think far worth reading.
Yeah, and you've written this. This is a novel that includes all races and religions that we're just talking about. And what happens with Joe, who is wounded but lives on, and he speaks Spanish, and he can translate some of the crazy things that he saw, the words of the Army general, as you describe it, who attacked the Alamo. And what was that general like? He was bloodthirsty, wasn't he?
He was a wild man, an absolute maniac, and he wasn't described as killing people for fun, but he was described as killing people for no reason. And for some reason, that seemed to have excited him. When I started reading and trying to get a grip on this story, I started off with just the books that I was reading, the textbooks, and then I read the books in the library at the school that I was teaching, Sharpstown High in Houston, HISD. Then that led me to the University of Houston and to Texas libraries around the state. And I finally read some of the translations of General Santa Anta, who was the general in charge of Antonio Lopez de Santa Anta, in charge of attacking the Alamo for those 14 days. And he was a very brutal guy. He would cut off your head and stick it on a spear and leave it on a trail leading to wherever he was attacking.
Wow. Wow, just even visualizing that. When people read this book, which you can get on Amazon, Joe's Alamo, Unsung, Lewis E. Cook, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Boy, it's two great things I want them to take away from this book, because these people, these defenders of the Alamo who were fighting for independence, were doing just the opposite of what Santa Ana was doing. They were fighting progressively greater and longer odds, whereas Santa Ana was getting more and more reinforcement. And that there are so many contributions from persons all over the country, people from England, Scotland, France, Germany, Denmark, Spain, countries all around Europe. And it's not a stretch at all to imagine that India and China, which are the other minorities that I included, and I had to do so, Kate, but simply because the material, the actual factual historical material, is just too narrow. It didn't even give very much attention to Joe and Susan Dickinson, the survivors.
Wow.
So it only did a speck to the remainder. But I think we did a decent job of allowing people to recognize that if persons came from all of these regions, then it's likely the regions next door could have easily been included. The thing that knocked me off my socks was to learn that the song, we sing it all the time here in Texas, the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yeah.
Originally was about a black woman named Emily. Emily, a black lady, is the Yellow Rose of Texas. And the lyrics kind of point that out. So my challenge early on was to say, we start off with a toddler, less than 2 years old, Susan Dickinson, and Joe. How can I show these persons to be the heroes that they were? And I'm really proud of the way I actually ended up showing that toddler, Angelina, the little two-year-old or less, as a hero. And I think it fits well with the description of what she could have done. So I like that.
So you've been to the Alamo, I imagine. What is that visit like for you now?
From my first visit to now, when I get there, the Alamo is like, well, I have to say it's like a tomb, and I regard it as such. And I see the Alamo as a place of sacrifice, sacred, and respect. When I first got there, early on, I saw the Alamo as a brave spot where, you know, should be somebody's swinging swords and fighting cannons and all, but now it is a grave site to me. And it's a grave site for original reasons. The persons who died at the Alamo, all of them, Jim Bowie, David Crockett, James Travis, they were burned. Their bodies were burned in that same ground. So for that reason, yeah, that's your final resting place. But I appreciate it as a place where all of Texas, minorities and otherwise, came together and made a sacrifice and made a tremendous statement for history. Only place in the world, remember the Alamo, where less than 300 people fought for 15 days, almost 15 days, against 5,000 defenders.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy to think of it. Great book, Joe's Alamo Unsung. Lewis Cook, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Everybody must agree with your form of self-expression. By the way, don't cater to the taste, so they'll say see you later to your face and chase a new obsession.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels,
The dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Boucher joins us now, and she has written a book that is a game changer. I am an optimist, and I can tell you that even this book for me, I can learn from this book as well and have. There is a completely different way to live your life, the optimistic future. Karin, thanks so much for joining us from Sweden.
Thank you.
And I think it's worthy of telling the listeners, because you're in a very sweet location in Sweden. Tell everybody where you are and how old the village is.
Well, I'm just outside Lund, and Lund is an old university city, and I'm living in a village that's over 1,000-plus years old, and our church is from 980.
Wow.
So it's over 1,000 years old.
That would make me optimistic every day to walk through that village, that's for sure. So the road to writing this book, how'd you come about writing the book? Why'd you write the book?
Because I've learned so much of all the people I've been working with all these years. I've been working over 40 years, and I thought I just want to write all of my experiences from what I've learned just write it down in a book so I can share what I've learned, so I can share it for more than just the people I meet.
For people who
reach out to people.
Yeah. So for people who pick up the book, and the title is very clear, there's a completely different way to live your life, the optimistic future. And people long for a better future. They long to learn better ways to do things. What do you think is the biggest block for many people who just can't seem to get there?
The defense systems. They're not aware how defensive they are. They're in a rot. It's like a loop. Their thoughts are in a loop. You have to get out of this loop.
And I know we're not going to give away all the secrets, but how do you start to get out of that loop?
It really is knowing that the mind is plastic. The mind can change all the time. You know, when I started my studies, you said that mind, this is how it is. And the mind cells, they die, and you get stupider and stupider. And it's the opposite. You can just change your mind continuously until you die. And that makes life so incredible that you know that just by changing your mindset, something happens within you. And mm-hmm. I had a workshop here just a few weeks ago, and I had a lady, and she's in her 50s. She's an executive, and she came down rather down in the dumps on the Monday. And on the Thursday, she said, I can't even remember how I thought and how I was on Monday. I am a completely different person.
Well, that's high praise to you, and you say it. It's going through it, and from the beginning of reading the book to the end, you say that there's no doubt you'd be a different person.
Every page you is a book or it's a building up a process. You start, you read, you process, you start, you continue, you process, and when you finish the book, you are not the same.
I like that. When you finish the book, you're not the same. What's it like living, and I mentioned myself how I feel about life, but what's it like when people make that switch and they live their life where they are open to change and open to going with what happens around them and they get rid of that defensive mechanism?
You don't get so emotionally involved with stupidity, actually. You're able to just look and be more calm, and you live your life and you send out a completely different demeanor to the world. And it's soothing for the world that you're calm and that you are happy.
Yeah.
And people can trust you, and they know this.
Because
you don't live a lie any longer. You don't live... You live a real life. You are real, if you get what I mean.
I do.
What you see is what you get.
Right. What you see is what you get. So you're not putting, I like to say it, sometimes you meet the representatives of people. So you're not meeting a representative. You're meeting whatever is there. And that means that the person is fully content with who they are, and they're not worried about what people think.
No. They're just fully, they're there.
What a wonderful thing, and what so many people could use. I know in this listening audience, we've talked about things that are similar, and to open your mind, to have that mindset, and developing that mindset, what a difference that makes. What are some of the other things, and like I said, we're not going to give everything away in this wonderful book, but what are some other things that people can do to open their mind to not being so defensive and to be accepting of life?
Accepting of life, gosh. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's just accepting life.
Yeah.
Not in an emotional way, but more in a pragmatic way. This is life, and I have to deal with it. And I'm going to deal with it from myself, and in honesty, from within myself, and take one step forward.
No, I like that.
Don't live a life in drama. Live a more authentic life.
Ooh, don't live a life in drama. Sometimes when you get this way, like the woman who paid you such a great compliment being in the workshop and said she's a different person, doesn't even remember what happened days ago. When you change like that, sometimes do you have to let people go in your life, so to speak, because they just don't, you've become this new optimistic person, you've become real, so you're not the same person that people knew before. Do sometimes you have to change people you know or groups of people you know?
When the people that go through the changes, one of the things they have to learn is to really let everybody else be where they are, accept where a person is. And not, No, if you make a change, it doesn't mean that everybody else needs to change, because that's not your business. You have to accept, I'm changing. The synergy effect that I'm changing, that's positive. But I cannot make anybody else change. I can't help my husband. I can't help my spouse. But as in a workspace, by me being the way I am now, it will be a synergy effect with the people that I'm surrounded with. But I can't change anybody else. The change can always only come within every single one of us.
Yeah, so beautifully said. And again, we're speaking with Karen Boucher, and the name of her book is There Is a Completely Different Way to Live Your Life, The Optimistic Future. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, really is that there is an optimistic future, even if the world is as it is just now. And the only way to go forward is to stop believing in stupidity and just being very pragmatic and see what you can do with your own life and not waste your life, waste time by, as I say it again, drama. Or views or opinions. Do actions instead. If you understand what I mean, be more action orientated.
Right, instead of reactive to what people
think. Yes, exactly.
Think.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people react and then they got opinions and whoa. Just be cool. Okay, how do we solve this? What can we do in this situation?
Yeah, what can we do? That's the thing, is to ask those questions. And I'm sure you talk about that. Ask yourself, take a step back, take a breath, right?
Yes, and what I notice with all the people that I work with is they become very much more secure within themselves.
And that certainly would make a difference in the way you move around the world.
Yes, because they're secure within how they perceive the world. They're secure that life is a process. And another thing that I see people are, you're always curious. There's always something around the corner. There's always something new to learn.
Yes,
so that curiosity and also creativity. I can't tell you how many people, suddenly I'm doing this, I'm doing art, I'm doing this, I'm writing. So the creativity sort of activates when you have the time over to be more yourself than keeping occupied by stupidity.
Yeah. I love the way you say that. This book is so fascinating and is a game changer. Karen Boucher. There is a completely different way to live your life, The Optimistic Future.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.